I thought... something I've been meaning to do anyway. And since period-specific audios don't do as well... it might be a good time for me to get my astrobabbling out of the way. For those of you who may not know... Oh, I didn't mean to turn that off. Fuck, no wonder. I thought I was turning it down. I'm not. Okay. Wow. I feel real dumb. Astrobabble. Oh, yes. Ooh. Higher, higher, higher. One of my sort of day jobs, sort of side hustles, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is as an astrologer, which I realize fairly niche subject. Everybody has some idea of your sun sign. Which is what people mean when they say star sign, by the way. Star sign does not fucking exist. It's sun sign. But I'm ranting. Oh. Anyhow, there is so much more to astrology than your sun sign alone. Oh fuck, I love this song. Tiamat. Oh fuck. Honestly, I have a massive fucking thing for Till's voice. When I say that I am... oh, into voices, I don't know how fucking, strongly I should describe my oralism. A-U-R-A-L, not O-R-A-L, by the way. And I will circle back to astrology, I just got distracted by the glory that is Till fucking Lindemann. Oh, fuck. I don't know what it is. Certain voices just... oh. Oh. penetrate. Right fucking through to the core of me. Oh, fuck. Tills is one of them. A handful of people, well, not even a handful, but... oh, fuck. A few people here have the same or a similar effect. Astrobabble. Oh, yes. More than your sun sign. Your moon is closer to the core of you. Really, your sun sign's sort of your basic personality. Your moon is your, emotional center. Mercury, oh, how you think, how you communicate, how you process and explain information. Mars is, in one hand, well, on one hand, your aggression, also your fighting spirit, your resolve, and no small part your ego. Same with the sun, though. The combination of the two really have a lot to do with the ego itself. Especially with Mercury. I'm getting very far ahead of myself. Mars is... passion. It's the more... raw, feral... aspect of sexuality. Can also represent the masculine principle. Along with the sun, really. The sun and Mars essentially are the masculine principle. Whereas the moon and Venus, are the feminine principle. Oh, the moon being your emotional center, and Venus being how you love. As well as, in no small part, how you influence others. Venus is a very public planet, even when it's in a very private house. I'll get to houses in a moment. After Venus. Also, when people attract it, women, Venus and the moon greatly represent the feminine principle, and the same for Mars and the sun with the masculine, although this really isn't gendered exactly. I mean, if you want to get into mundane astrology, yes, the sun and Mars, oh fuck, do have a hell of a lot to do, with muscle, the genitals, particularly, the penis, seeing as the glyph for Mars, has this little appendage pointing out of it. What could that possibly resemble? And Venus, it's pointing downward, where, the no-no square is. By which I mean, of course, the vagina, darling. fuck. After Venus, we come to Jupiter, planet of expansion. Can have a lot to do with philosophy as well, although that's more of a ninth house thing. I'm getting very far ahead of myself even mentioning the houses, but oh well. Jupiter is the more grandiose aspect of ourselves, in a way, where we have extra gift or talent, sort of. Can also represent work ethic if it's in the right house and sign. After Jupiter, we come to Saturn. Now Saturn, can be a bit of a bastard. it is a planet of structure, discipline, order. After Saturn, we get to Uranus, which is the correct pronunciation, because everybody decided to go with, your anus. Guess where I'd like to go in the entire galaxy? Your anus. So, like, human immaturity, as usually, ruined a perfectly good pronunciation, but it is funny, I have to admit. Anywho, Uranus. Fuck. Planet of, wild change, eccentricity. The avant-garde. The abstract. The radical. Fuck. Although, Saturn and the planets I am about to mention, along with Uranus, are outer planets and don't have as much to do with our daily lives. Saturn is most important for the first time. Unless you are ruled by Saturn, it becomes most apparent around the age of 27 to 29 when you experience your first Saturn return, which is your first major trial in adulthood. If you live long enough, you can experience three and the lessons get harder and harder the longer it takes you to master them. I mentioned Uranus. Radical change. Something new. Next comes Neptune, a particular favorite of mine. Planet of fantasy, illusion, mirror. What is beyond perception? Just barely hovering beyond what we can consciously access. At least without psychoactive substances. Oh, fuck. Neptune. Is also where we delude ourselves. But it can just as easily become a source of massive creativity and imagination. It can give performers an extra leg up on the competition if it is prominently aspected. By which I mean, conjunct a personal planet, I'll get to what those are in a moment. Or, one of the public angles of the natal chart. Or activated by transit sometimes. Most of the outer planets are, mostly important in transit rather than necessarily where they are in your chart. As the planets, move, they, obviously shift through the zodiac. And as they shift, they activate your natal placements in particular ways depending on your exact configuration. After Neptune, there's Pluto, which, yes, is a dwarf planet. Oh, fuck. Tish, that's French. Oh, fuck. I got distracted. Happens. Fuck. Pluto. Yes, technically a dwarf planet, but asteroids matter in astrology. The size of Pluto, is less relevant than you might think. Now, Pluto is another favorite of mine. It can be absolutely fucking brutal. Much like Mars, they both rule Scorpio. Pluto is where the potential for transformation comes from. It is death and rebirth. It is decay and fertilization. That's it for the major planets. We're going to briefly go over the two. Well, no, we'll go over all of the angles. Now, the angles are where the house axis comes into play. And I'll get to, you know, the signs you guys are probably at least somewhat familiar with shortly as well. These concepts are a bit more important than the signs themselves, which is one of the many misconceptions people have about astrology itself, which only moderately irritates me, but now I'm just complaining. The houses. We'll start with the first, clearly. The houses move in a wheel configuration, just like the zodiac itself. There is there are, forgive me, slip of the tongue, 4 points on this axis. To the far west, the first house. Far east, the seventh. Oh, south, the fourth. North, the tenth. The first house is the house of your ascendant, the house that was rising at the precise moment you were born. This is why an astrologer will ask for your birth time as well as your full birth date. The time of day changes. Obviously the time of day changes. I meant to say the ascendant changes with the time of day, sort of. In about 2.5 hour increments, we shift through all 12 signs, so even if you're born on the same day as someone, it's not likely that you will have the same sun, moon, and rising. That particular configuration is fairly unique to you. More so when we get into degrees, but I'm not going to bother to get into degrees in this one. I might give a minor lesson later, but not at the moment. So the first house is the house of your ascendant, your rising sign. This is how you seem at first when people first meet you, your first impression. This may or may not actually reflect much of your personality. The first house is also your basic appearance. As an example of this, if you have the moon in the first house, it is very difficult for you to hide your emotions. When you look at someone and you can just see their heartbreak, with a glance down, maybe tears start to well in their eyes, but they don't say anything. You just can see their pain. Someone like that is likely to have a moon in the first house, because this is very easily visible. Or, moon in the tenth house, which is the house of public recognition. This is your role in the world. Could be your career. Could just be what you're called to do. Not necessarily your 9-to-5, if you get what I mean. The first house, the house that is essentially you, at first at least, directly opposes the seventh house cusp, which is where the seventh house begins. Now the seventh house, this point where the seventh house begins is called your descendant. This has a lot to do with what you look for in a partner, but not only what you look for in a partner, it's more what you look for subconsciously. What you project onto a partner, what you don't like in a partner because you recognize it in yourself. Part of what attracts us to a person, really. What we see in them that we see in ourselves as well, whether we want to acknowledge that we see this trait in ourselves or not. Now the 10th house, to contrast, opposes the 4th, which is essentially how you were raised, your upbringing, your home life. That's where you came from. Whereas the 10th house is where you're going. I'm not going to break down all of the houses right now. Really, those points are the most important. As for the signs, let's start with the baby of the zodiac, Aries. These motherfuckers don't shut up. They kind of can't. They're sort of like Geminis in that way. Only, Aries has less of a filter. And Aries is more rambunctious, more prone to anger, where Gemini is much more detached. Aries is very my way or the highway. Not necessarily in an aggressive way, although it can come off as such. Aries just wants what it wants when it wants it, because it has not yet learnt patience. Once Aries masters patience, as well as what it means to give, which is reflected in its opposite sign, Libra. Every sign has an opposite, or sister, reflecting its best and worst right back at it. They're like two sides of the same coin, really. Libra is the socialite. The,